truly one of those great duties of the Alaska governor, a duty that 49 other governors likely wish they had.
Governor Parnell announces the permanent fund amount. From the Alaska Public Radio Network, this is Alaska News Nightly for Tuesday, September 20th. Good evening, I'm Lori Townsend. Also tonight, a U.S. senator questions a NASA contract that went to a subsidiary of an Alaska Native corporation.
Whenever there is a very large non-competitive contract, I think it deserves scrutiny and oversight. And this is a very large non-competitive contract.
Those stories and more tonight on Alaska News Nightly.
Alaska News Nightly is brought to you in part by your local public radio station. The Federal Aviation Administration sets standards for the operation of aircraft in airports and provides services to the flying public. Passengers are influential in making flying safer in Alaska, so when passengers know their rights and responsibilities, aviation is safer for everyone. There's more information online at faa.gov/go/flyalaska or toll-free at 1-866-357-4704. This message sponsored by the FAA.
Governor Sean Parnell opened a triple-sealed envelope in Anchorage this morning to announce this year's permanent fund dividend amount.
Commissioner Butcher, the envelope, please. Look, like he's got three seals on it. It's like extra safe. The amount of the 2011 permanent fund dividend for every eligible Alaskan, $1,174 even.
Parnell said this year's dividend check is healthy, but the amount is based on a five-year average of the stock market. He warned Alaskans can face lower dividend amounts in the future.
I can assure you that the dividend amount this year is healthy, but that dividend amount is based upon a five-year average of the stock market. If you think about stock market performance the past couple years and potentially going forward, Alaskans can face diminishing dividends based upon the current dividend calculation because, in part, poor performance of the stock market. And then additionally, over time, because of declining oil production, there will be fewer and less royalties going into the permanent fund unless we turn that around.
Brian Butcher, Commissioner of the State Department of Revenue, says the state's savings account has remained strong despite worldwide economic woes.
The fiscal year 2011 ended above $40 billion for the first time in state history. So 2008 took quite a beating all across the country with investments because of what happened on Wall Street, but we've bounced back quite nicely from that.
This year marks the 30th year of the Permanent Fund Dividend Program, Butcher said. Over three decades, $19 billion has been distributed to Alaskans. The 2011 dividend total amount of $760.2 million will be distributed among 647,549 eligible Alaskans. PFDs on direct deposit will be in bank accounts on Thursday, October 6th. Checks by mail leave Juneau the same day. The Pick, Click, Give program, now in its third year, resulted in $1.6 million last year to nonprofits. Next year's PFD filing season starts January 1st and ends March 31st. U.S. Senator Claire McCaskill, a Missouri Democrat and chair of the U.S. Senate Subcommittee on Contracting Oversight, has asked the NASA Inspector General to investigate a contract between NASA and an Arctic Slope Regional Corporation subsidiary. As KMBA's Jacqueline Estes reports, McCaskill has been a frequent critic of the Small Business Administration's 8A program that helped ASRC get the contract.
The NASA contract with ASRC Research and Technology Solutions is for $36 million and authorizes the agency to add another $10 million for added services. The contract is cost plus. That's where a contractor is paid allowable expenses plus a profit, as opposed to a set amount, no matter what the actual costs. The company is to provide national and international spectrum management and space communications, technical support, and engineering studies. Senator McCaskill says she has asked for the investigation because it's a cost-plus contract and because it's a sole source or non-competitive contract.
First and most importantly, I want to get all the facts. Whenever there is a very large non-competitive contract, I think it deserves scrutiny and oversight. And this is a very large non-competitive contract.
McCaskill says the contract highlights one of the issues she has with the Small Business Administration 8A program, which gives Alaska Native corporations, Native American tribes, and Native Hawaiians special advantages in government contracting to the detriment of other small businesses, she says.
The fact that ANCs are allowed to, quote-unquote, call themselves small businesses when this is a large mega corporation that clearly is based in Maryland and nowhere near Alaska, I think it's just important that we find out why they were the only company that could do this work and why it was, in fact, just because they were associated with Alaska Native Corporation that they were able to get the contract without competition. Had another company come along, would they have had to compete? And if that's the case, then it is a great example of why we need to look hard at this contracting reform issue.
McCaskill also says NASA inappropriately considered its experience with another ASRC subsidiary in deciding who would get this contract. Alaska Senator Mark Begich, a Democrat, says looking at the big picture, this contract is not a large one, and he says the government is getting the job done effectively.
Our ANCs, our Alaska Native corporations, are doing a great job. And if there are any issues, we'll take them on head on just like anyone else. But don't single out one group when the federal government operates on a $3.6 trillion budget with a lot of private contractors out there that I have a lot of questions about, that we should look at them all. There's no problem with us looking at all contractors, but don't just single out one group.
Begich says McCaskill's call for an investigation is part of a pattern in which she inappropriately singles out Alaska Native corporations.
This has kind of been an ongoing issue with her just about Alaska Native corporations, which I think is an unfair approach. But, I'm not afraid of any scrutiny for any contracts that any of our companies acquire through competitive or sole source based on the need of the federal government.
The SBA 8A program is designed to benefit disadvantaged minority businesses. In the past, McCaskill has also questioned how much the program benefits Alaska Native corporate shareholders. In recent months, the Small Business Administration has instituted new regulations to prevent potential waste and fraud and to require Native corporations to document benefits to shareholders. ASRC had no one available to comment for this story, and the NASA Inspector General's office says it has received McCaskill's request for an investigation and has no comment at this time. With help from APRN's Libby Casey in Washington, D.C., and reporting from Anchorage, I'm Jocelyn Estes.
An Anchorage judge says Alaska same-sex couples are entitled to the same senior citizen and disabled veteran property tax exemption as married couples. Superior Court Judge Frank Feifner ruled in a 34-page decision that the state's marital classification violates the Alaska Constitution's Equal Protection Clause. ACLU of Alaska and the National American Civil Liberties Union challenged assessment rules on behalf of three Alaska couples denied a full $150,000 property tax exemption. ACLU of Alaska says in a statement Monday that the couples were in committed relationships but were treated as roommates rather than families. Alaska voters approved an amendment to the state constitution in 1998 that defines marriage as a union between one man and one woman. A spokeswoman for the governor's office says the state is reviewing the ruling. Still to come on Alaska News Nightly, the town of Homer looks for a Homer lookalike.
We want them to at least basically look like Homer Simpson. But, they need to be able to go, no!
That's ahead. Stay with us.
Alaska News Nightly is brought to you in part by BP, supporting public broadcasting in Alaska.
Whether visiting Barrow or attending business in Juneau, APRN goes with listeners wherever they roam. Your company's message can span across Alaska on 26 stations. Find out how by calling 907-550-8437.
Fairbanks Borough voters will consider a ballot proposition aimed at reducing wintertime fine particulate pollution. A public meeting on the proposition was held Monday. As KUAC's Dan Bross reports, the measure targets emissions from wood and coal-fired heaters.
Fine particulate pollution from smoke is on the rise in Fairbanks as more people heat with wood and coal instead of high-priced oil. That combined with cold air inversions, which trap smoke near the ground, have translated into health problems for people and motivated sponsors of Proposition 2. Healthy Air Now Committee Chairwoman Sylvia Schultz explained a key provision of the measure at the public meeting, a ban on coal-fired heating and outdoor wood boilers. Schultz cited a Coal Climate Housing Research Center study that identified wood boilers as a major contributor of smoke.
For example, if you took a neighborhood of 27 wood stoves like my own, and you had just one wood-fired hydronic heater, that hydronic heater would be making more smoke than the neighborhood of 27 indoor wood stoves.
Schultz quoted another study that shows over 50% of Fairbanks smoke coming from wood boilers and coal-fired heaters. Regular wood stoves would remain legal, but Proposition 2 would establish a visible emission standard based on smoke opacity coming out of a chimney, make it illegal to smoke out your neighbors, and up fines for offenders. Other provisions include expanded eligibility for the borough's existing heating appliance repair, removal, or replacement program, and add a tax credit to cover regular maintenance. Schultz said the goal of the ordinance is to efficiently improve local air quality.
To provide the most limited regulation on the fewest number of individuals to solve our problem that we have here at the lowest total cost.
Schultz and a panel that included borough academic and medical experts cited monitoring data that shows worsening winter air quality that sends more people to the hospital with heart and breathing problems. Downtown Fairbanks exceeded the Environmental Protection Agency fine particulate standard on 37 days last winter. Monitoring also pinpoints several other local pollution hotspots, including an area of North Pole nicknamed the Rectangle of Death. State Representative Tammy Wilson of North Pole is leading a group opposed to Proposition 2. Wilson questions the severity of the problem.
They're talking about the Rectangle of Death in North Pole, and I take that very personal. It's not a rectangle of death. I've got the data. We didn't exceed more than six times last year. So I don't know where they're getting their numbers from because they're not correct.
Wilson advocated for an influx of state dollars for the borough's heating appliance changeout program, which pays people to get rid of or fix older, inefficient units. Wilson says local non-punitive efforts, like one aimed at getting people to use clean, burning, dry wood, need to be given more time to bear results.
Education is coming through the borough with the split, stack, and store campaign. You also have the changeout program in which $3 million was given from the state to the borough so the changeouts could happen quicker. Then you have the state who is doing the enforcement. They are legally going after some of those who have been polluting, which is exactly the police powers that they have. The borough does not have that.
Wilson says it's wrong to ban wood boilers because newer models are more efficient and can be operated cleanly. The borough and state have to put together a plan by December 2012 to bring the Fairbanks North Pole area into compliance with EPA fine particulate regulations. Proposition 2 supporters cite the looming deadline, serious health issues, and possible impacts to transportation and military funding as reasons to take aggressive action now. Borough voters will consider Proposition 2 in the October 4th municipal election. In Fairbanks, I'm Dan Bross.
Alaska's Marine Highway System wants a court to order the fast ferry builder to provide new engines for the ships. State officials say engines on the Fairweather and Chiniga are wearing out faster than their warranties promised. Replacing the eight engines could cost in the range of $20 million. The state filed a lawsuit last year, but continued talking to the manufacturer about a solution. Captain Mike Newsell says the state is now asking the court for a preliminary injunction to force action before the engines wear out.
If that happens, those vessels could be out of service before there's an ultimate resolution, which would mean the state would lose use and the state residents and communities would lose use of those vessels prior to the ultimate decision on that lawsuit.
He says quick action is needed because making new engines could take about a year. The engines have already undergone repairs. Newsell says that that has extended their operating life, but the repairs are not permanent. The lawsuit and injunction motion are against Director Shipyards, which built the ships, and subcontractors that built the engines. Director officials could not be reached for immediate comment. The injunction motion does not specify that new engines be built by the same manufacturer, but Newsell says that's the likely solution.
We have looked at alternatives, what other engines are out there that we could replace these engines with, And to be honest with you, there's not any other diesel engines in the marketplace that meet the power-to-weight ratios that these engines have that would fit in the assigned space and have the correct weight to be used in these vessels.
The Fairweather, built in 2004, is based in Juneau and sails to Sitka and Petersburg. It's scheduled to begin Angoon service next year. The Chiniga, built in 2005, is based in Cordova and runs to Valdez and Whittier. The State Department of Transportation yesterday announced that it has selected Ketchikan-based Alaska Ship and Dry Dock as the construction manager and general contractor for the new Alaska-class ferry. As KRBD's Deanna Garrison reports, the announcement is being hailed by Ketchikan officials who have aggressively lobbied the state to build the new ferries in Ketchikan.
Marine Highway Chief Mike Neusel says Alaska Ship and Dry Dock will work with the state to finalize design on the ship along with Elliott Bay Design Group, the state's architect and engineering contractor.
And then Alaska Ship and Dry Dock will have the first opportunity to do a guaranteed price proposal to the state. And if the state and Alaska Ship and Dry Dock can come to agreement on that guaranteed price proposal, we will actually issue a separate contract to have Alaska Ship and Dry Dock construct the Alaska Class Ferry.
Neusel says this is not a sole source contract, nor is it a guarantee that the ship will be built in Ketchikan. The state has set aside $120 million for construction of the Alaska-class ferry. Neusel says the new ferries will carry 499 passengers and 60 larger vehicles.
In general, we're talking about a 350-foot steel hull, diesel propulsion, twin-engine, twin-screw vessel that will be a day boat ferry. It will not have passenger accommodations, no cabins. It won't be a what we call a mainline vessel that does overnight trips with passengers and cabins. It is designed for shorter runs.
He says the state is only planning at this point to construct one Alaska class ferry, but there may be future contracts to build others. News that the state is intending in all likelihood to construct the Alaska-class ferries at the Ketchikan shipyard was met with a huge sigh of relief amongst Ketchikan officials who have collectively pressured the Parnell administration to build the ferries in the first city. Doug Ward is ASD's Director of Shipyard Development.
Everybody in the shipyard is probably excited as all get out. And it's probably hard to wait to get to work on it.
The shipyard is in the process of constructing a massive $40 million ship assembly hall, which would be used to build the new Alaska-class ferry. Ward says the ferry project would produce approximately 200 direct and indirect jobs in Ketchikan during the estimated 3 to 4 years of construction. But Ward says the shipyard is hoping the economic benefits will extend far beyond that.
We'll have an extreme competitive advantage to build the next ships of this class because we've already done one. And that's a well-known principle in the building world that he who gets the first ship will get the rest of the ships because of the knowledge that we'll have building it.
Ketchikan Gateway Borough Mayor Dave Kiefer says construction of the Alaska-class ferries in Ketchikan will help the first city in its goal of becoming the maritime center of Alaska.
You know, it's not just these projects. As they expand the shipyard to be able to handle the Alaska-class ferry work, they're also expanding it to be able to handle a variety of other boat construction projects that could be anywhere from the Bering Sea to even Canada. We've heard from folks in Canada asking us about our operations here. So I think this really allows us to sort of position ourselves as the maritime industry center for the entire North Coast. And that's a good thing.
Now that the decision has been made as to how the state will procure the new ferry, Neusel says DOT wants to move forward with completion of design and construction of the vessel as soon as possible. In Ketchikan, I'm Deanna Garrison.
Alaska News Nightly is brought to you in part by
the Pebble Partnership, developing a comprehensive mine plan that meets Alaska's regulatory requirements while supporting sustainable fisheries in Southwest Alaska. PebblePartnership.com. NMS, building a culture of safety through active caring. More information online at NMSUSA.com.
And by
Alyeska Pipeline Service Company, committed to safety, operating the Trans-Alaska Pipeline with over 700 employees.
A volcano in Alaska's remote Aleutian Islands is sending out lava. The Alaska Volcano Observatory reports today that Cleveland Volcano is erupting with an effusion of lava within the summit crater at the uninhabited island about 940 miles southwest of Anchorage. Satellite data last week showed a thermal anomaly indicating the lava dome was growing. Observers were able to measure the lava dome at 540 feet in diameter, up from 490 on September 9th. The observatory says a growing lava dome increases the possibility of an explosive eruption that could send ash high into the sky. Lava overflowing the rim is another possibility. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration is calling for oral history submissions from Alaska. It's for their project Voices from the Fisheries. NOAA's National Marine Fisheries Service started the project back in 2007, but stories from Alaska have been slow to come. KDLG's Daisha Eaton has more.
I finished college, and I had a job waiting tables in a restaurant. I was living in Chicago. One night, I was just like, what am I doing? I was working in a fish restaurant, and I just said, I'm going to go to Alaska. First, I said, I'm going to cut off all my hair, and then I said, and I'm going fishing. And I went fishing that summer. And then I fished 9 salmon seasons.
That's the voice of an Alaska fisherman from Kodiak. Her story was recorded in 2007 for Voices from the Fisheries, an oral history project developed by the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration to preserve stories of fishing culture in the United States. But that fisherman's voice is one of the few collected from Alaska. Susan Abbott Jamison helped start the project for NOAA. Abbott Jamison has helped collect stories of the American fisheries all the way up and down the East Coast, from the Gulf of Mexico to American Samoa and Hawaii. But she says the stories have been slow to come in from the West Coast, and especially from Alaska.
We only have a few from Alaska, and that's very sad because marine fisheries are so important to Alaskans, both in the commercial fisheries and also subsistence fisheries. So this is a big hole, and we really need to do something about that.
All the stories are put onto a website where anyone interested in learning more about fisheries can access them. The oral histories are then used by social science researchers and classroom teachers, among others. Abbott Jamison says collecting the stories now is important.
Well, we all know that fisheries are changing. There are a lot of younger people not entering the fisheries, older people retiring from the fisheries. There's a lot of cultural knowledge that is disappearing. And also, even for those who stay in it, local knowledge constantly changes because the conditions change.
And although they're interested in hearing from fishermen, Abbott Jamison says they also want to hear from the broad spectrum of people who are connected to the fishery.
It's not just the people who are out harvesting fish or hunting marine mammals. It's the whole complex of aspects of the human experience related to those kinds of activities. People who process it and things about how you cook the fish you eat, aspects of the arts that are based in the marine fisheries. I think immediately it comes to mind in Alaska, all of those marvelous carvings.
If you're interested in submitting an oral history to the Voices from Fisheries Project, you can learn how to do so on their website at www.voicesnmfs.noaa.gov. In Dillingham, I'm Daisha Eaton.
The town of Homer is hoping to generate national publicity with a contest that celebrates a famous cartoon character with the same name. KBBI's Aaron Selbig has the story.
Although one is famous for halibut fishing and the other for slovenly ineptitude, Homer, Alaska and Homer Simpson do share a name. And Homer Chamber of Commerce Executive Director Monty Davis thinks it's high time the town welcome the Simpson patriarch by sponsoring a nationwide Homer Simpson look-alike contest. Davis would like to say the idea for the contest was his brainchild, but it actually came originally from a friend of his in Anchorage.
She was saying, you know, I've always thought this would be a neat idea for Homer to do a Homer Simpson look-alike contest. And I immediately said, do you mind if I steal that? I'm going to take that idea and run with it. And so I contacted the Fox news channel up in Anchorage, since it's the Simpsons and they run on Fox, and they're very interested, and they had talked to their national office, and they were very interested in the whole idea.
The contest will run nationwide over the winter, says Davis, and the idea, the ultimate goal for the winner, would be an all-expenses-paid trip to Homer, Alaska, where he or she would receive the honor of being the Grand Marshal of next year's 4th of July parade. Davis envisions the internet playing a big role in the contest, with contestants possibly uploading entry videos onto a YouTube channel that could be accessed through the Chamber's website and Facebook page. But to draw entries from around the country, they're going to need some help getting the word out.
That's the hope, actually, of attracting the Fox National Network, is that they'll pick up on this cute little idea of, you know, the town of Homer, Alaska, having a Homer Simpson look-alike contest and publicize it on a national basis.
The judging criteria for what makes a good Homer Simpson and what doesn't is still in the works, says Davis.
We want them to at least basically look like Homer Simpson. But, you know, they need to be able to go, you know, and some of those, you know, the catchphrases. So I'm sure, you know, if I can do it, anybody can do it.
Davis has lots of ideas about the Homer Simpson look-alike contest, including the possibility of introducing celebrity judges and, get this, having the Homer Simpson balloon that's used at the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade in New York shipped to Alaska and floated down Pioneer Avenue during the 4th of July parade.
This is all upside for Homer. If we can pull this off, you know, I just think that the national publicity is going to be really fun and obviously good for the entire community.
And that's all well and good and everything, but as I was talking to Davis, I couldn't help but wonder, isn't Homer Simpson a guy known primarily as an overweight, bumbling, ignorant slob whose love for donuts and Duff beer greatly surpasses level of maturity and responsibility? Is that the guy we really want representing Homer, Alaska?
No, that is not. That's a really good point. But everybody knows, luckily, that he is a cartoon character, and so I don't think there's a negative side to it, although that's a really good point, Aaron.
That said, Davis is not ruling out the possibility that it very well might be an Alaskan who ends up winning the contest. In Homer, I'm Aaron Selbig.
And that's all for this edition of Alaska News Nightly. If you missed any of tonight's stories, we're online at alaskapublic.org. You can follow us on Twitter at APRN. We had reports tonight from Ellen Lockyer and Jacqueline Estes in Anchorage, Dan Bross in Fairbanks, Ed Schoenfeld in Juneau, Deanna Garrison in Ketchikan, Daisha Eaton in Dillingham, and Aaron Selbig in Homer. Our editor and producer is Annie Feit. Our audio engineer is Dave Waldron. And I'm Lori Townsend. Good night.
Alaska News Nightly was made possible by
First National Bank Alaska, branches in 18 communities around the state and on the web at fnbalaska.com, member FDIC, equal housing lender. Solstice Advertising, bringing creativity to Alaska businesses and nonprofits, from research and strategy to print, web, and broadcast production. Solstice Advertising, an agency for brands that want to shine.
And by
ConocoPhillips, Alaska's oil and gas company. The Federal Aviation Administration sets standards for the operation of aircraft in airports and provides services to the flying public. Passengers are influential in making flying safer in Alaska, so when passengers know their rights and responsibilities, aviation is safer for everyone. There's more information online at faa.gov/go/flyalaska or toll-free at 1-866-357-4704. This message sponsored by the FAA.
This is APRN, the Alaska Public Radio Network.